Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Halberstam of ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Doc Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. It is over at MetLife Stadium where the Jets in overtime have beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots 30-27. The Washington host of other games, Pittsburgh beat Baltimore 10-6 in the third quarter. Washington Redskins came back, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Geno Smith. We're going to talk about the Jets defense. We're going to talk about a game that was so paramount and so spectacular. Before that, let's go into prayer. And with that, go to opening prayer thing. It's John Coltrane. It's the iconic Gilroy. It's prayer time. And then we'll be back. Sports and Death. Live Talk Radio. And the Trust in God Radio Network. Gilroy. Thank you for another day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for little things that so largely take for granted. Lord, we ask that you give us what we want, what we need, and we hope that what we see will be what we want. We thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for blessings that have come, will come, all unmerited. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Grace is being what you do. I deserve the mercy that you put into the church. We love you, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless that your way be out. Bless our family. Bless our friends all here. Family. Our families across the world, family in Brazil, here. More importantly, Lord, we thank you. And we ask you to bless all the blessings in your darling son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And with that, it's time to talk football. They're here. The iconic Cincinnati Sea Wings, NFL 411, Pittsburgh E, who still gleefully, as he punches his Pittsburgh Steelers, who's in work against the Baltimore Ravens. But what happened here today? Wow. It seemed the game had got away. But the Jets defense again was there. Tom Brady, for the second time, had a rough day. This time, he didn't get away. This time, New York Jets in overtime. Great. Watch this team down the field to a game-time field goal. And it was the Patriots. Got the ball first in overtime. But with the smoke lid, the Jets, with a field goal, gave them a win that now makes them sworn faith. It makes them a team, tenth in the division, and maybe they've won more games than anybody thought they're going to win this year. Doc Stanley, Sports and Tap, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And Cincinnati Sea Wings, with NFL 411, is going to join us. And we already have Pittsburgh Key joining us here. And the Hoopster. Hoopster has to be elated on the Pittsburgh win. But Cincinnati Sea.
They're up 10-6, third quarter.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, don't be interfering with this Pittsburgh stuff when I'm doing other things. You know, you're a basketball guy, say your Pittsburgh stuff, and just back on. We don't need
I'm all sports.
Play on this. Okay, yeah,
I learn from the best.
Don't try to soften us up when you learn for the best stuff. Just calm down. Just calm down. We know that.
It's a jet day. Don't spoil it now. It's a jet day, so don't spoil it.
Tell me stuff we don't know. Doc Stanley, Sports Talk, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God, live for MetLife Stadium. We have the Hoopster here. We have Pittsburgh Key and Cincinnati Sea Wings. Cincinnati, you know, it looks like, I mean, I'm watching the game. I'm going downstairs to get my good buddy Jim Fester. We're going to say happy birthday to a host of people later on. And Gino and the Jets get the ball in 20, march down the field, touchdown, zip, 7 points, so much quicker than the first game. And then Brady, the great John Brady, comes back, and bam, they go down the field in the same way. And Gino comes along, bam, there's the INT. It's a 14-7 football game. And that INT haunted the Jets all game long, because if they don't have that INT, they win the game in regulation. But talking to Willie Colon, number 66, one of the great defensive, great players on this team. And he said something about Geno that reminded me so much of the great Walt phrase. He said, you know what, Geno, whatever happens, it's done, it's history. He doesn't bring it back to the bench with him. He shows a lot of maturity and ability. I remember when the great Roberto Duran was training to fight the great Marvin Hagler, and Duran's greater. And I remember one of the inspiring parts said, Duran has such recuperative powers. You know, you think you're having trouble, you think you're hurt. And Geno Smith has the ability to recuperate and get his mindset on the next set of downs. What's happened in the past, good, bad, and indifferent, and more so bad, Cincinnati Sea Wings, he, as Colon says, he lets it go. He comes back to the bench, it's done. He is emerging. I think today is another step. And we talk about the Atlanta game, but I think today is another step in the direction of a guy that's going to be a player to reckon with in the NFL.
Oh, I definitely agree with you, Doc. If you look at the progression of Geno Smith, even from, you know, the preseason with the turnovers, but he never let it get him down. He shows his confidence, his composure. He's like, listen, this happened on the last play. That's the last play. We have to go out there and play till it's all zeros, and we have to go out there and win the game. It really shows that his progression, his composure, he takes a sack, he makes a little ball, he throws an INT, but he goes back like he hits the reset button after each play. He comes out, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. He's progressing. He's getting over the, I guess, growing pains as a rookie, which a lot of great quarterbacks like Peyton Manning and different quarterbacks like that, they do a lot of interceptions. But the key today was to keep the turnovers down. He threw the one INT, and to keep the ball moving to keep Tom Brady off the field. So I think with the combination of the offense playing where they should be playing, is moving the ball, scoring, you know, those touchdowns that they put, and the defense stopping Tom Brady on a couple of those drives, tackling him deep in their end zone territory, it goes to show that if this team continues on the track that they do, we can probably see them in the postseason if they continue to play this throughout the season. I think the key is to get past the first half of the season. If they can pull one out, because it's a tough game next week on the road against Cincinnati, who's on a winning streak. Marvin Lewis is doing a good job out there in Cincinnati. But they show in the Atlanta game that if you keep the turnovers down, you move the ball, and you score, you can pull off the wins even against a hard division rival like the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Check it out real quickly. The stats, you know, the Jets' defense was as stellar as it was the first game when they shut out New England the whole second half. It wasn't until the fourth quarter New England finally got a couple of first downs, which was amazing. They were leading the football game with no first downs. Got a chance to go into the New England locker room, and their kicker. One of the things that he talked about was that, you know, they just hate losing a game, hate losing a division game, and hate losing to the New York Jets.
Oh, that's always a division rival with the New York Jets. It always has been. You can take this going back 30, 40 years. It's always been the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Coming into this game, I believe it was 54-51 overall throughout their total meetings. So it goes to show you how close these teams really are historically in this division, with New England only being up coming into this game. Four more wins.
Hey, motherfuckers!
But I tell you, you look at this and the way
fuck
the Jets are playing. You know, the Jets can pull this off. They can pull this off.
So if they can
take two out of the last three, which they already took one today, because for the most part they're always up and chasing the New England Patriots. If they can pull one of the next two games off, preferably Cincinnati,
you hear me?
And then have to
hey motherfucker,
you know,
can you hear me?
Host the we seem to be having technical difficulties
with
unscrupulous caller or, you know, whoever that is in the background there. We apologize to our listeners out there. You're listening to Doc Stanley Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio. We are here live, MetLife Stadium, as the New York Jets down the New England Patriots, 30-27 in overtime. You mentioned something, Doc, on what the defense did today. New England only were 1-for-12.
I'm correct. That one first down was off a penalty, if I'm correct.
Right.
And so, for all intents and purposes, New England did not at all make a first down, which was amazing. And just showed you the impact that the INT had on this football game. Because if Geno doesn't throw the INT, you win the game in regulation time. Probably a whole different score, because I remember when they scored and they went by three. I said, without the INT, they're up by 10. You're playing a whole different football game. You're running the football game. They run the football, and something you talk about, too, that I don't understand, and you talk about that when we watched the championship game in Pittsburgh, and I got a chance to see Mark Sanchez before the game. He says he's doing better coming along, and they kept running the ball up the middle, and something that Bob Ashusha, the radio announcer for the Jets, says that, you know, the Jets have to use Geno's legs, and that's how they got the touchdown that put them ahead. He ran on that drive, and he ran and got a big first down, as he did in the game against Tampa Bay, and then he ran for the big touchdown to put him ahead, which turned out to be really big because it was part of the score that had him tied to go into overtime. But they have to find a way to implement him into the running, and as soon as Mel Cosell Smith Jr. joins us, I was talking about that earlier today with you and the Pittsburgh Heat, when we were riding in on our pregame show. And, you know, whoever thought we'd miss Marty Schottenheimer, but some kind of, you know, who's, I mean, you've been here with us, but who would have thought we'd have missed Marty Schottenheimer? Let's go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh East. What's happening with the Pittsburgh game?
Hey, what's going on, Doc? How you doing today, brother? God bless everyone up there, man. And it's a great game today, Doc, man, you know. And from the beginning.
What's that with the Pittsburgh game?
Hey, well, it's still right now about the score, baby. We're about the score right now, you know. I don't want to get distracted, Doc. So let's keep on to one subject, baby.
Hey, Doc, can I say something also? That's Belichick. That's the fourth time a rookie quarterback has beat Belichick.
ship. You know, all those kind of sex don't mean anything. I mean, it's nice. But you know, they have those kind of numbers because if that's only four times, and
and Sanchez was one of them.
Wow!
Oh yeah, that
he was a rookie. He was one of them.
It's amazing stat. And once again, Booster, yeah, I should have kept letting you talk. But it's a stat, but it means something. And not because of what you told us in your articulate soul type of way, that only four rookie quarterbacks have beaten Bill Belichick, and two of them have been Jet quarterbacks. The rookie season
I can name two more.
Twice. That was
and McCoy and yeah. Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. But I know it. Now, you know, I see the underlying effect here. I take it back because you had to throw Roethlisberger in, which means it really is whole thing leading to your Pittsburgh side of the thing, Joe.
I understand what he's talking about. I can feel your sentiment.
Well, sorry, he was a rookie. I can't help it. He did beat him. He was a rookie. I'm sorry. Happy
help. We are looking at a football game. Let's take a look at some of the stats. Just read some of the stats off to us. As I told you earlier, in the locker room talking to the kicker, Stefan Kozowski, he was New England was despondent. You know, if you lose anybody, you don't want to lose to the Jets. He was just talking about, it was a division game, and then you couple the fact that it was New York Jets, and it just really upset. Got a chance to talk to one of the ends at the end of the game, and he was talking about that, you know, there's no such thing, Matthew Slater. And Matthew was saying, hey, look, you know, there's no good thing about losing. I said, you know, maybe in retrospect, I mean, you lost, but is there some sort of moral victory in the fact that it took overtime to beat you? He said, no, loss is a loss. You know, and I quoted that great line from Jackie Robinson, above all else, I hate to lose. But this is a game that can really turn the Jets around. Now they're only one game out of first place. And more than that, Cincinnati Sea Wings, is that, you know, and I talked to Willie Colon about that, and also to Landry. You know, we talked to Landry before. Maybe we can get some good feedback on both those cases in Larry Hardy's interview. And, what Landry said is, they thought they should have beat them the first time. And then Willie Colon went with a great line of, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. They beat them today. But I think this game proves that not only can they beat the elite teams in the league and Boston the purpose, New England is still a very good football team, but maybe not really an elite team anymore. But it shows the fact that the Jets can play on the same level as anybody in this league.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the last time that the Jets did beat New England was in the AFC division playoffs in 2010. The Jets were born as the underdog, and like Booster said, Mark Sanchez beat him. He beat him once in the regular season, and also he beat him in the postseason, which Mark Sanchez is the one with the most postseason wins. I mean, it's something very phenomenal. Quarterback out of USC, and this is always a tough division with the New England Patriots. For the most part, dominating and winning the division year in and year out just for the last couple of years since 2000. I think it was once or twice that New England didn't win the division. Just quickly, a couple of stories around the league. Arian Foster, he is out against in his game, as that is a close game. Kansas City is leading the Houston Texans 14-13.
Wow.
Green Bay is over the Cleveland Browns 17-3. San Francisco 49ers are just walking all over Tennessee 24-0. Cincinnati won today over the Detroit Lions 27-24. The St. Louis Rams went down to the Carolina Panthers 30-15. Tampa Bay lost to the Atlanta Falcons 31-23. Buffalo, they edged Miami 23-21. The San Diego Chargers won effortlessly over the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-6. Also, Jake Locker, they went down to the Washington Redskins 41-45.
He went out. He was taken out on a groin injury. We'll have a further update on that to see the full condition of Jay Cutler. Correction, I said Jake Locker, Jay Cutler. So, I mean, you have Baltimore and Pittsburgh playing in the third quarter there.
Mm-hmm.
13-6. And the biggest game tonight.
Oh.
The Indianapolis Colts host the Denver Broncos, which turns out to be Peyton Manning's first return to Indianapolis after leaving and being, you know, basically being cut loose by the team. There's a big story this week about the owner making some sort of comments that they moved on and some sort of to be taken either way.
You're kind of saying some sort of comments. They were not kind of supposed to say blah, 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 and trust in God. And they were laughing at life. Said in post-game show, the comments and for lack of insurance passing that he didn't show, asinine. Talked about even not Brady, you know. Brady hasn't been inconsistent, but he has three of these pointing to his finger for the championship ring. And you know, we're in the playoffs 11 times, and we got knocked out in the first round 7 times, and we're going to have one of these. Peyton Manning is the best quarterback in the game today, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And the great line that, you know, the Baltimore fans said that, you know, 18 will never be 19, meaning Johnny U. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and Touch and Guard Radio. We may be around here when that game finally starts. But let's go to the locker room, and I got a chance to talk to the kicker, because I think the guy that we should be saluting, you know, and Landry said it himself, is that the Jets feel, without question, that they have the best kicker in the world. And Nick Falk, he wears number 2. Like I say about Derek Jeter, second to none. He's proved to be second to none here in this league. Let's listen to Steven Kowalski, the field goal kicker for the Patriots, as he talks a little bit. I said, you know, is there some solace? Is there some sort of moral victory for kickers that the game was won by somebody in that fraternity? Listen to what he says, and then we'll get back. And we'll also listen to Larry Hornsby, greatest average sportscaster in history. And this is Radio ESPN talking to Willie Colon, the one without the trombone.
And, it takes a lot to protect my confidence. I've always been confident. You know, sitting in,
showed a lot of the mentality of the dislike for the Jets. I mean, you've seen Geno play. You're a kicker of Cincinnati Sea Wings. I mean, nobody has more time on the sideline to watch an opposing quarterback, and the quarterback is the kind of doing to the kicker because he's going to either score the touchdown, you're going to kick, or put you in field goal range. So, he says a couple of things there, and one was losing the division game and losing to the Jets, and then it's kind of amazing that he has no clue how good or how bad is the Jet quarterback, Geno Smith, one of only 2 rookie quarterbacks ever to beat, thanks to the information there, who's the New England Patriots. Wings?
I mean, it just goes to show you the deep-rooted rivalry between these two Division II teams here. I mean, you could look at the Carolina Panthers with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, you could just go to and from where a lot of these teams do not like each other, but it is more story between the Jets and the New England Patriots, just the fact that, you know, where they're from, the type of teams. I mean, you have New York and basically the Boston area. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that the Patriots could take a loss, but it hurts more coming from the New York Jets because just of the deep-seated rivalry between the two teams.
Hey, Seawin, can I ask you a question? What surprised you most in that game, and what grade you gave the Jets team today?
I definitely give the Jets an A-. They moved the ball efficiently. They made a lot of third downs. There was only one INT. That's why they get the minus there. The most surprising was when Geno Smith ran for that first down. He took that hard contact and kept going. Just it goes to show you the toughness of this quarterback, not only physically, but also the mental toughness to cut down on the mistakes, especially against a juggernaut or a heavy division rival such as the New England Patriots.
Yeah, so you think he should lose his legs more? Because he's more dangerous if he loses his legs more. I think he'd be more effective.
I think that the plays that Morningweg does call for Geno Smith to run are the right plays at the right time. I don't think that it should become something customary where you can have him run the ball a lot or to read.
Bob Dusa. Am I saying that name right? Bob, the play-by-play sportscaster for the Jets? Papa's not for the Jets. Papa's for the Giants.
Bob was Shushin. I'm sorry.
I've got the Wings here. I've got the Hooster, Pittsburgh E, and who's my fourth caller?
Harold.
Harold West here?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Hey, Harold. How old are you? You called Harold. Okay, because I was always here. I was just here from some boxing and then some fights last night. The thing, too, is he said that somehow you got to kind of incorporate some more bootlegs. I thought, when they're trying to get into the field goal range, a couple of bootlegs would have been great. Just run outside, pick up some more yards, and kill some more clock. The last touchdown they got was off of him. A running touchdown, and he ran for a big first down. I think somehow you do have to incorporate some more of him running, or even perceived to be running, as his running ability is. It was big today. It got the first win. It was once again a first down that led to another touchdown. Just a big, big win. And we're going to go back into the locker room, and also Cincinnati Wings. I think you at the press conference, Coach Ryan. We want to get some rap with Coach Ryan. We want to also talk to Willie Colon, as I'll say now, the one without the trombone. And we'll have him talking to Larry Hardesty. We'll talk some more boxing, Harold Weston Jr. And Cincinnati, see Pittsburgh E. What's the story happening with Pittsburgh with the Ravens, who have to have a pretty tough rivalry, too, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. There's no love lost there, too, right, Pittsburgh E?
No, of course not. That's our division rivalry. First of all, they took us out last year, didn't they? And then they won the championship. So, and then before that, we've been having that rivalry how long, about 15, 20 years, maybe longer than that?
20, over 30, 20 years.
Yeah, about 20 years, man. And then we're not having the best of years this year, are we?
No.
But it's all right. We might win this one right now. So,
you're looking to do, two back to back. Let's take a break here, quick ago. Coach Ryan, we just got the media notes, opening statement from Coach Ryan. That's what I'm talking about. This is a big victory and keeps us alive. We obviously have a ton of work to do and need to improve a great deal as a football team. We understand that at the same time, it's great to get a win, especially against New England.
It came down to situation football. They did a good job driving down the field at the end of the field to go to tie the game. It was a great team effort. I'm a little worried about our offensive coordinator, Marty Mims, because all he wants to do is run the football. We had 52 rushes, and that's what I'm talking about. We were at 69 for runs and completions, and you're going to win a lot of football games this way. We know we had the benefit of overcoming of overtime as well. New England was at 42, which is good. It's tough to beat Tom Brady in the quarterback rating, but we did it today, which is a huge plus. And Brady, Pittsburgh E talked about it too, that it doesn't seem that Brady's not the same quarterback he used to be. We were on the elevator, and a couple of guys were saying it seems like he can't throw the long ball anymore. And Pittsburgh E talked about today too, as he had to miss Hernandez. And he talked about, we walk into the locker room, you know, there's two guys he had last year he doesn't have anymore, as Welker and Hernandez. I mean, those tight ends were, I mean, they were too big and too strong for everybody. He could get two guys on short yardage. Then the guys that were big and strong enough to run, he had Welker, who, as I said, you know, Randy Morrison made Welker.
Don't forget Danny Woodhead was a nice slot little.
Yeah, he was good too, yeah.
But some slot.
Yeah, but
slot
I'm talking about last year when you look at he had Welker in the slot, and he had Hernandez and Gudowski. But, you know, he doesn't – somebody was saying it just doesn't seem like he can throw the long ball. I think maybe there may be some shoulder problems. But during the Boston Spurs, not been the same football team. They were the best team in pro football when they had Randy Moss. They were the team to beat, and they could beat you any kind of way. When Moss left, they lost the status as the most elite team in pro football. And I don't think they've been a very good football team. But they're a beatable football team. They're not really unbeatable as they used to be. And Tom talked about that the first year that Randy came to the team. He said, you know, when Randy came, he said, you know, with you here, we can run the table. And they had an undefeated season. No, happened in the Super Bowl. But Brady hasn't looked like Brady for the course of two games against the Jets. And, of course, he's been able to do it. Do you think, before we go to the Larry Hardesty interview, with Willie Colon, that maybe physically he's not there anymore?
Mentally, you know, and I even asked Quentin Copeland today, did he seem a little off his rhythm? He seems to be kind of forcing the ball a couple of times there. Even when he wasn't under pressure, you saw the frustration. So when you have a primary pocket passer like Tom Brady, who had the comfortability of the players that you just mentioned, and now they're not there. You have Gronkowski. I mean, Gronkowski, he was 8% of team, 114 yards today. They did seem to target or throw in the area of Dee Milliner, just the fact that he's a rookie. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the frustration in Tom Brady, and he seems to rush a lot of passes and overthrow, underthrow. He definitely seems to be out of his element somewhat, but he is still an extremely dangerous quarterback who is accurate, who can move the ball very quickly down the field in such a short period of time. Even against a top five quarter of top five defense such as the New York Jets, so
Hello?
You know, I mean, I think that the New York Jets win today, it really goes to show what they're made of or what they can be possibly made of
right.
When you play the right way, even against a strong team such as the New England Patriots. I mean, by no fact that you can sleep on a quarterback like Tom Brady, but he definitely seems to be a little off his rhythm.
Well, I mean, he's off his rhythm because of the New York Jets. Jets, you know, a great defensive team, really. I mean, they finished number 8 last year in the league.
Okay.
That says a lot for a team that finished like 30 in offense. I think they're number 5 and number 4 maybe after the day in the NFL. Let's go into the locker room and listen to Willie Colon, the one without the trombone, with the greatest outgoing sportscast in the history of New York City radio, the first African-American ESPN radio, the iconic, the voice that brings sports in depth to you and leaves you here
on Sports and Depth. Larry, the legend, Hardesty. Well, listen on. Larry Hardesty, after the Jets' exciting comeback, 30-27 win right here at MetLife Stadium. Real quick, the Pittsburgh game. What's happening in that Pittsburgh game?
Hey, man. The Ravens just kicked a field goal, so we're down now. It's 13-9 now?
Yeah, 13-9. Yep.
13-9. So, but hey, we stopped him big. He was just going to throw a touchdown. So, 13-9, getting the ball back now. Get back to you on that.
Okay, KC lead Houston 17-16. And that Dallas and Philadelphia game was some kind of game. We'll get back to that in a minute. But the game here today, 30-27 in overtime. New York Jets, New England Patriots, back with the new Jets tied up. In the closing minutes, seconds of the regulation, New England got the ball first. Jets defense stopped them. Geno Smith, again, him and it seems like the guy, I mean, Lampy says, you know, I'm glad he's on our team. We think he's the best kicker in the world. Nick Falk, and again, Geno Smith, Nick Falk, got it together, a field goal, and bam, the rest is history. Let's go. Go into the locker room, the Jet locker room, and listen to Larry Hardesty talk to the Willie Colon, the one without the trombone. Right here on Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio post game show at MetLife Stadium.
Next deal.
The greatest admin sportscast in history, New York City. Dr. Andy Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Touchdown Garden. We'll be right back in a minute or two, talking some more football, some other stuff around for all the sports. And of course, with Howard Weston here, we got to talk fight. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Touchdown Garden Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Pat Stanley, sports and death. Last 10:30 on the Touching Guard Network. Jets big overtime with me at MetLife Stadium, 30-27. They beat New England Patriots. And they're 1-1 on the year, 4-3 now on the season. 1-1 with the Patriots. A big win in the division game. It's the second of their four wins that have been in the division game. They beat the Buffalo Bills. Now they beat the Patriots. That's in a very good position in the division. And as Coach Lyon said, as we go to his post-game notes, he said one thing is that it came down to situation football. They did a good job of surviving at the end of the game. But he says, this is a big victory. Keep this alive. We obviously have a lot of work to do. Need to improve a great deal as a football team. You understand that. At the same time, it's great to get a win, especially against New England. It's long seen to be the elite team in the division. And we don't know if Lady A is going to eventually join us or not. But big victory for them. I don't know if you want to go in the locker room. If you have your interview, we can talk. If you have a Coach Ryan, anybody you thought that you wanted to speak to Wings, we got a chance to go to both locker rooms. New England players,
yeah.
They have to say a lot of guys went to the podium. And we're talking about the Jets' victory today. We're talking about the fact that the Redskins came back and won today. Did we get a final on that Dallas and Eagles game? Because they were
17-3.
They were nothing at the half, and we taught two high school offensive teams where we had a defensive battle. Big game for Dallas, and tomorrow's a big game for the New York Giants. Okay, Wings, you're going to take us to the locker room. Who do you have for us?
I have talked to Quentin Copels.
All right, the rookie.
Live from MetLife Stadium as the New York Jets defeat the New England Patriots 30-27 in a tough overtime win. Just a couple of other statistics from the game today. The New York Jets dominated possession of the ball 46 minutes and 13 seconds.
That was the key.
To the New England Patriots 23 minutes and 40 seconds. And penalties. The Patriots had 7 penalties for 100 yards. The New York Jets had 9 penalties for 45 yards. Just with one turnover, as you see how the Jets dominated the Patriots today, they only kept them to 1 third down conversion. They were 1 for 12. The Jets were 11 for 21 on third down efficiency. So it goes to show you that the Jets, young team, a lot of new players, they're coming along each week. I think that this win today was pivotal in keeping the Jets on this road. They're not only playing for position, they're also playing, I believe, to keep their coach's job. It's definitely a big win psychologically, physically. They were able to run the ball today pretty efficiently without Wilfork, who was a big loss on the New England Patriots. You had Chris Ivory. He had 13 rushes in the first half for 39 yards. I mean, they pounded the ball, and that's what Doc alluded to with his opening statement about Rush, you know, Marty Morningweg rushing the ball. It's going back to the old ground and pound, but you do have it where Geno Smith can launch the ball, and he's getting more and more efficient with it each week.
And also, you know, the key was also, C-Wings, that Tom Brady said that throw the touchdown in that game. That was
absolutely
a big key to the game. He threw a touchdown in that game. That was unbelievable. You got to get
that's something that's overlooked. Well, you know, and let's look at that. For all intents and purposes, the New York Jets defensively had shut out Tom Brady touchdown-wise for 5 quarters because they didn't score anything in fact, 6 quarters, nothing in the second half of the game in New England. And I think this is a lot about defense. And you have to ask some questions about Tom Brady. Let's talk boxing for a little bit here. Let's break out in a minute or two. Any more things in the locker room football-wise? Can we break away there since the C-Wings go into a little the sweet science that we have Harold Weston Jr. and, of course, Pittsburgh East. There it is. Crowd time. Harold. Great African-American, well, the only African-American matchmaker in the greatest history of Master Gordon. Pittsburgh East, come on in here now. Let's talk a little boxing.
How you doing? What's up,
Doc? Harold, the fight last night, did you catch it?
No, I sure didn't.
Well, I saw it last night, Doc, and all I got to say is on that fight is that Alvarado had the fight won until about the 5th round when he changed his plans on starting the brawl. That's when he gave the fight away. If he would have stuck to his plan on boxing, the same from outside, he would have won that fight.
He didn't stick to
the plan, and that's why he lost it.
Okay.
You know, after the 6th round, the Russian took over, you know, and he started brawling with him, and then I think they stopped it. He didn't even want to, he didn't even come out on the 10th. He said, I ain't coming out.
Is there anything about these Russian fighters that impress you? The so-called thing has been something that they come here with a hunger and a determination that some American fighters don't have anymore. Is there anything about these Russian fighters that stand out that impress the great Howard Weston Jr.?
Yeah, I mean, I used to work with some Russian fighters, and one thing those Russians told me is that, you know, where they live at, in some of the part of their country, they don't have meat. They only eat meat like once a month, okay, that they can really, they can't go to a restaurant and eat meat, okay, let me just say. And when you're poor in Russia, you're poor. And so for them to get an opportunity to come from there and be on a boxing team or a hockey team or whatever, to display themselves as athletes, they are more hungrier, and they're willing to listen and go to the depth to do anything to be good at what they do. And that's what makes them different. American fighters have gotten completely spoiled. They're very weak. Our whole system is weak. We don't have a strong-minded, strong-willing, determined, die-to-the-death situation of people like we used to do. It's a whole different crew out here today. And so basically, anything that looks tough, they don't want to deal with it. And that's what the Russians and the Asian kids, even kids from Puerto Rico, I mean, the Dominican, they're tough. because they come up hard. They even when living in the 21st century, they still live a hard life. Where the kids in the United States is not living a hard life. And I'm talking about kids even in the ghetto. It's not as like it is over there in those other countries in the place. It really isn't.
Hey, those people in Russia, they picking fish out of the water and eating the heads off without cooking it raw.
Right, right.
Well, it's
I mean, come on, man. Who does that? Come on, they put it on the boiler.
Yeah, and they say, you going to pay me to beat this guy up? Jesus Christ, that's the easiest thing in the world for them to say, man.
With 2 pounds of raw fish outside waiting for me? Oh, man, no problem.
Right.
Yeah, give me some food. I'm ready. I'm going to fight.
And they come here, man, and start eating. They can go to a restaurant and get as much meat they want to eat. You don't understand. That's like a real heaven for all them, man. And I talked to a Russian kid. I had a kid. He wanted to fight. He had gotten messed up, and his arm had gotten messed up where it was complete. But he told me that his arm always bothered him. But he didn't tell me that his bone was out of place. And so we had to send him back to Russia. But he was a heck of a fighter. He knocked out like two guys here, about three guys that we put him in fights with that they thought he was going to lose, and he knocked them out. But my point is, they're hungrier. They're much, much hungrier than the fighters.
Hey, man, we're dealing with somewhat kind of cannibal fighters, these guys, man. You know what I'm saying? If they had a chance to bite your arm off, they would. Come on.
Now, do you think, Harold, that you mentioned something about the United States fighters. Do you think the United States fighters, compared to Russia, maybe even South American fighters, that they have been or have encompassed themselves with more of the fluff and the flair of celebrity of being a professional boxer, that they have lost some sort of focus on the real true meaning of boxing and what it is to train and strength and tactical, fighting and stuff during the fights? Or?
Well, it's like I'm saying, it's the fact that we got these students, and these kids can now get on and take themselves and start rapping and get 20, two million hits, and he's a star. I mean, some people can get on there and get butt-naked and become a star on this. So the American people, American fighters, American, they're living an easy life. And there's so many ways to get out to make it in this country, which is great. But my point is, you don't want to have to work as hard as we had to do back in the day. Today is like, if they don't want to fight, they can go and do something else. But back in the day, if you wanted to make it, and there was only a few little places you can go and make it in society, especially when you was African American, it's a whole different ball game now. You knew your window was very shut, so basically you had to try to crawl through that little hole that you find and try to make it on the other side. And today's time, they ain't got no. The window's wide open. You just can do pretty much anything to make some money today if you got a brain and put some things together. But these kids are not hungry. They're not. These fighters today in America is not. That's the time we don't win a gold medal. We're never going to win gold medals because the kids are not hungry. You got to be hungry to fight. You got to be hungry. You got to take the pressure that's going to come to you, not just in the fighting, but just training to be a fighter, to learn how to fight. And these kids ain't going to go through all that. That's the big problem we have.
It's the same old thing you and Dusty keep talking about. Oh, where the heck is Dusty at when you need him?
Dusty is right here listening to your garbage. Listening to your crap. This is the Royal Highness.
Hey,
the view man.
Like Don King says, only in America.
America, does I show up with my big hair?
Oh, Dusty, welcome.
I know you caught the fight last night.
Yes.
What happened? Hey, Harold, well, let's start off. Harold talked about the so-called, something he said about the hunger, the drive and determination of the foreign fighters. Your thoughts on Russian fighters, and give us the 411 on what happened last night. Who won and why?
Yeah, all right. First of all, you talk about hunger. Provodnikov says he was raised in a small town of Russia eating raw fish and raw meat, and that's what made him so strong. But as far as yesterday was concerned, He's a one-dimensional fighter that has been successful in 23 out of 22 fights and scored 15 KOs. Alvarado is a one-dimensional fighter who tried to be a two-dimensional fighter, meaning he went to boxing. He cannot box. He doesn't know how to box because that's what happened to him with the first fight with Rios. He tried to outslug Rios, and Rios was a better slugger than him. And Harold knows this. You don't slug with a slugger. And yesterday he knew he couldn't slug with a slugger, and he tried boxing. He doesn't know how to box. He just about did what Miguel Cotto, dancing and prancing, and he couldn't do that. If he had glided, this is what I'm saying, glided, move and stuck his jab in Provodnikov's face stiffly all night, he would have had a better chance. Because the little bit that he did of boxing had Provodnikov just a little confused, and he had him at bay.
Yeah.
But then he tried to lean up against the ropes. That's what this guy wanted. This guy is another 3G Galapin or whatever his name is. Gennady 3G. But if you box him, push him, you might be able to have saved yourself. I thought maybe he may have survived the whole 12 round, but he was taking a freaking beating. And their corner and Tony Weeks, the referee, were absolutely right. The corner told him, you're going to have to score a knockout because we're going to stop the fight. You're losing the fight. He didn't have any more energy left because he's a one-dimensional fighter, and one-dimensional is he's a slugger, but then he ran up against a better slugger. You know, and the thing is that with this better slugger, guess what? Freddie Roach is making him the second Pacquiao. If you see him last night, he's fighting just like Pacquiao.
Let's go back to Pittsburgh. Some kind of football game.
I'd rather not. You can keep talking. Hey, the Ravens just called right now. It's 16-16. As soon as they kick this field goal right now, Doc. Not happy to talk about that, but hey, it's all right. You know, it's life. It's life.
So we're talking about with a minute 58 to go, we got the same sort of situation we had with the Jets in New England, except in this case, Pittsburgh can at least win their football game, or else we're looking at another overtime.
Yeah, we could, because we got one more good drive in us. I can see it coming.
Yeah,
okay.
Pittsburgh is
we got to run that clock down, like, the, you know. I mean, how much we got? We got 2 minutes? Hey, I think Ross can do us in 2 minutes. Big Ben can do it, too.
We took an overtime.
Right, you got to stop getting sacked, though, man. That's the problem.
We're going for the victory, bro.
Yeah, we need the victory. We got to protect them.
I think we're going to go about 50, 60 yards and kick a field goal, and it's over.
This reminds me of the great line. You know, they said Phil Jackson told the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan, you know, there's no I in team. Mike said, yeah, but there's an I in victory. Doc Bailey, Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on the Sports Talk Network live from MetLife Stadium, the post-game football show. And yeah, that's Dustin Howell talking about the Sweet Science. We got a couple of fights coming up that we're going to talk a little bit about. We're going to get back to some football in a minute, but let's take a quick break. Sports and the Blog Talk Radio, Sports and the Network live from MetLife Stadium. The Jets get a big one. 30-27 overtime winners against Tuff. Boy, if there's anybody to beat it. They win with two games all year. If it's New England Patriots, they're happy. Don't anybody move. We're right back. Dr. Kelly, Sports and Network, Preston Gardner Network on Blog Talk Radio. Can you give us a little rundown on the scores, finals real quickly, as we get ready to get back into the main show?
The Tampa Bay Bucks went down to the Atlanta Falcons today, 31-27.
They're still undefeated?
We have the Cowboys won today, fashionably, over the Philadelphia Eagles, so they're at the top of the...
On the Eagle game, did Vic get into that game where they still went with the other quarterback?
Vic didn't play. He wasn't ready with the hamstring that he pulled.
There was a big story about had the backup quarterback won again today, that Vic would no longer have his job, so I guess it means Vic still has his job, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the wins that he did put up last week, you know, he did throw for pretty accurate last week. Could have been an anomaly. So it goes to show that Michael Vick is still in it. It's just a matter of time before he heals, maybe another week or two before he comes back after pulling that hamstring against the New York Giants. We see a battle here with the Pittsburgh game going down to the final minutes of the fourth quarter. The Cleveland Browns are losing 6-17 with the Green Bay Packers. We got the New York Giants tomorrow for desperate for a win, playing the Minnesota Vikings. We hope to see that the Giants will finally break out of this fog, this eggshell of a winless season. Basically, that's it. I mean, they have really been struggling. I think if they lose tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, have to go in the football game. And as Matthew DeFrancis would say,
I'm jumping out the window, baby.
About them apples.
I'm jumping out the window.
I cannot believe that. On the sideline. Wow.
But you know what? I tell you what, fellas.
Ain't over yet.
You know what happens in here? It's still enough time for Baltimore to come back. I mean, but the idea, you want to be the guy that has to get caught as the guy that has to do the catching. But is there a flag on that? Can we say
it looked like he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look.
He did. Yeah, good call. Yes, he did.
Good call.
Yes, he did.
This wasn't a James Harrison run back, so he did.
At least he need no oxygen.
that changes everything. So it could be returned. And I don't know, how do you step out of bounds though?
Did they call that little heel stepping out of bounds? For God's sake, he got 99% of his footage in bounds.
Exactly. If you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, it's a little heel. If you're a Baltimore Raven, it's a big heel.
Jesus Christ.
Baltimore, they'll take it.
The Buffalo Bills won today. They came back and edged the Miami Dolphins 23-21.
That there is a big win for Buffalo. It was a big win for Buffalo and a big win for the Jets. And the fact that Miami lost, and also it has to take some of the sting out of the loss for New England, because a division foe didn't gain any ground. I mean, so the only win is the big winner here. For all intents and purposes, is both the Jets and Buffalo, even Jets even more. So they're 4-3. They were, I believe now, are they solely in second place? Jets are 4-3 now. They should be. Or tied for a second. We'll check with a few of our people here and do with the final. But that's a big win for Miami to lose. And the only thing is that too bad Buffalo had to beat them, because that is a good thing for Buffalo, too.
And the Bengals won today, too, 27-24.
I think they have one of the great coaches in football who doesn't get a lot of credit. You said he was on the hot seat. And more importantly, they're winning games that they should win. They had a tendency to win games that they shouldn't win and lose games that they shouldn't have lost. And they're putting it together now.
Oh, you kind of sound like you just described the Jets. They win games they should lose, and they lose games they should win. But it seems like they have an extra fire when it comes into playing the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Hey, C-Wing, is somebody's birthday on Tuesday from the Jets?
Well, tell us, whose birthday is it Tuesday?
Oh, Muhammad. We're going to wish him happy birthday from the nation, and happy birthday. What a nice gift, because every time he plays on his birthday, he always loses against New England. So this time he got a nice present. Wish him happy birthday from the Sports and Deaf Nation.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Stanley, Sports and Deaf Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network.
Hey, see what you hang out with Ryan today, did you?
Doc, the Jets are in second place at 4-3 behind the New England Patriots. Puts the Miami Dolphins in third place at 3-3, and the Buffalo Bills last place at 3-4.
fulfilled. Okay, let's take a quick look. Let's take a let's go back to Pittsburgh East. My goodness, that's all excited here. And to the Pittsburgh game, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, two rivals as much as the Jets and New England. 56 seconds left to go. We were fearful here that New England was going to win the football game. But Brady came down and they got a field goal to tie the football game. And then we said, oh, my goodness, they won the coin toss. And they got the football. The Jets stopped, and they came back and got the field goal. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Let's watch the action here from the Pittsburgh Steelers game.
All right, we need another 20 more yards, Doc.
Okay,
20 more yards, and we got the field goal.
Ross Burke
go away, go away.
He's looking back to pass. He's looking to pass.
There you go, baby. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
He had the first down,
we
but also has, he has the – he stops the clock, so that's going to put them in good shape. Looking at that play, Wings just sent the receiver, caught the ball. Not only caught the ball, but caught the ball for the first down and turned around and got out of bounds.
Oh.
We're watching some other things happening here. Oh, everything's happening here. Wow.
The San Francisco 49ers are up 31-10 over the Tennessee Titans.
Forget it. That game's over.
Okay, that's a wrap.
Let's roll back real quickly. Let's get back to Pittsburgh. Ross Burke behind the quarterback. Gentlemen, everybody, let's listen in.
Hey, 38, baby.
Fakes it, gives it to the back who runs.
There you go.
That's all.
4 seconds left to go. Well, you know, close to field goals have been missed. And if the Pittsburgh wins this game, you know, it seems
like. It ain't like we got Falk on our team, right, Doc?
Well, let's just call him automatic.
The thing here is
that victory over the Jets last week could be a springboard. This will be two wins in a row, and also this is a big win against another division foe, against the Ravens. So this is a big football game for them. And to come back after the play where the great kickoff return, he stepped out of bounds. So to overcome that, and this is the thing that happened in the Jets game today. The Jets were able to overcome that Geno Smith INT because it just took all the momentum out of the game. The Jets scored, New England scored, then New England got the INT, went 14-7, and all game long, you see that, if they didn't have the INT, the Jets would be more in control. And so it turned out to be a really big turning point for the Jets to overcome that, and this would be a good little turning point. I mean, it's not a big of a fact that we stepped out of bounds, and we'll see how Pittsburgh does. But what I'm saying is Pittsburgh was on a losing streak. They came here last week. They beat the Jets. And that's another factor, too, we can put in the Jets hat, that the Jets came back after a loss, a game that they should have won. They won big. Pittsburgh is taking that momentum. But that's going to take them to two wins. A lot of things happen in football, but, you know, you just really feel good about this game here today. Jets won a game here. I think Willie said that. Willie Colon said that in the locker room, that had the Jets won today, had the Jets lost today, all intents and purposes, the season was done. All intents and purposes, if they lost today and it's 3-4 instead of 4-3, all intents and purposes, especially two losses to New England. So, I mean, so there's no way you can win the division unless New England just fell apart or they all died in the plane crash. So that was going to happen. We're going to get back to that Pittsburgh game. We're taking a quick look at that. The Green Bay game was really all over. Pittsburgh is trying to win their game. Green Bay is trying to win this game. Cleveland down 24-6 with about 7 minutes left, but they need a touchdown to get in the end zone. Last time Cleveland played on Thursday night, they honored the greatest football player in the history of football, without question, greatest running back of all time, led the league in rushing 8 out of 9 years from the fullback position, the one and only, the man from Syracuse, the one and only Jim Brown. Let's get back to Pittsburgh real quick. It's one time I left, 43 seconds left, 2nd and 7, trying to get in field goal range, which they probably are right now. Ross Burger, who's, I say, one of the prime-time quarterbacks in this league. He may have a game where he throws 4 passes, but 2 will be touchdowns.
Beautiful.
He gets another first down. That's going to put them even closer. They're trying to come up. They're running the clock. I think everybody's watching this, so you can watch this with us right here. The kicker's on the side, ready to kick. 32 seconds left to go. Now it's down under 30. Pittsburgh looking to get a field goal to win the game against now the Ray Lewis-less world champion, Baltimore Ravens, and we're going to go back to Pittsburgh once again. This is tremendous, a good throw, good screen by both the receiver and the other receiver slanting them. He's crossed the middle. They're in field goal range, and they should in just about a minute or two seal this up. It'll be a big victory for them. They had lost. They won a losing streak. Came to New York. They won. Their coach
is the youngest coach to ever win a Super Bowl, and also that's NFL history, American history, African American history. So we're getting ready to see what Pittsburgh is doing. It was third and goal for the Browns. We're trying to get back to football against Green Bay, and they have not got back in the end zone. They'll probably have to go for a field goal or maybe a fourth and a try for the Packers. And let's go back. Let's see some everything here, man. We're going back and forth. I mean, this is the longest 40 seconds, but that's pro football. Kansas City trying to finish up the Texans, but he's been picked off. And Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is the coach of the Texans. I believe Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
And we wanted to hear all the sports in depth. From the Hoops always jumps and beats us, too, but I beat him to us. Everybody here on the Sports in Depth Nation want to send our sympathy wishes to Wade Phillips, who just lost his father a couple of days ago. And as you know, here, everybody here, we sent the card and our condolences to Coach Rex Ryan, as him and his brother and family lost their stepmother about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So once again, our sympathy and prayers go out to these coaches and their family. Like they say, you only get one mother and one father. And so our prayers and our thoughts are with you in every single way. Getting back here, as we're thinking about this Green Bay Cleveland game, we want to get a quick look and see what's going to happen at the final edition of this Pittsburgh Steelers game. The full conclusion is that the Steelers are going to pull this thing out. What is
it? Yeah, Green Bay wearing the throwbacks, the old throwback jerseys.
Way throwback jerseys. The numbers on the front, nothing on the helmets. And
ugly jersey.
Number 92, though. You think of number 92, you think of the great Reggie White. Fourth and goal. Cleveland will get another shot. And they capitalize. Cleveland Browns have just scored. It'll be a 17-13 game, and they're back in. Let's go to Pittsburgh now. And Pittsburgh is trying to win this thing. There's 30 seconds left to go. First and 10. Roethlisberger goes back, hands it to the running back, who goes, well, it might be a, how's he get anything on this one? But the 26 seconds left to go. They're at the
running down the clock.
So that would be
they're
like
running
the
clock.
Field goal. You know, I would. I
don't get the ball back. No
you don't try to get a little closer. The closer you are, the better it is. They're running the clock down now. I guess they're
going
to go to the field
goal.
Okay, they're stopping the clock. So they're going to go for the field goal. 3 seconds left to go. For the win, Pittsburgh will be two in a row. It's a 16-16 football game, and I think for all intents and purposes, Pittsburgh is going to win that football game. So Pittsburgh is going to win two in a row.
Until the ball is between the two yellow pipes, I'm not saying nothing.
Okay. I like your style, Pittsburgh. Back down the Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Custom Garden Network, live from MetLife Stadium. They're here. And Pittsburgh is going to go out. Okay, let's go to Pittsburgh. 3 seconds left to go. They're here. Double barrel Harold Weston Jr., Dusty H. Barry Brown, X. Lois Jr., the Hooster, Lewis Hart, Cincinnati Sea Wings, AK, Mr. NFL 411, Pittsburgh C. We're still looking. Were we able to get a hold of Mel Casella? Is he still in studio?
He still ain't see something yet, did he?
He's on another maybe he sees
did he see? I think he's still upset about the fight.
Here
we go,
let's
baby.
Get the field goal temp, and here it goes. Here
it's over.
Go.
That's it. It's a wrap.
And it is.
It's good.
And
hey,
they've
won two in a row. 19-16.
There it is. Steelers over the.
And that's the second week that Baltimore lost in the final couple of minutes. Baltimore lost in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
They tried to struggle back last week, but you got to understand, Baltimore lost, I think it was 17 or 18 players from last year. So this is a Super Bowl team that's basically
been disseminated.
And then, you know what, and out of one of those 17, 18 players, Dusty, one guy happened to name me Ray Lewis. So, you know,
yeah.
That was the team right there.
You know what? We could say the
and
same thing about
too.
Pittsburgh,
don't forget,
too.
Ed Reed. Don't forget him now. He was good, too, now. Can't
you know, we don't
have
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but we're talking about Ray Lewis. We're talking about first guy in the Hall of Fame. We're talking about a guy
we're talking about rebuilding. I'm talking about Pittsburgh is rebuilding, too, this year.
Just, hey, back off. You win the game, okay? Back off, Doc. Okay?
Hey, Doc.
People forget that you know, you've lost some key players. And that's something you talked about, too, that the loss of some key players in Pittsburgh. And we talked about that, and I saw Mark Sanders before the game. And you talked about that, too, that over the course of the year, there was a constant erosion of talent around Mark. which was unfair to just put all the weight on him. And when you lose these key players, and you talked about that before, Cincinnati, see, when Bats Kelly sports their Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network live from the live 10 post-game show, Jets big overtime win against Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the, another thing, did we find out what that penalty was about that gave the Jets the ball again?
It was a pushing penalty, which is a new rule.
A ridiculous penalty.
It's a new rule in the NFL this year that you can't push on
your own
on a field goal. You can't push on a field goal.
What do you mean you can't push on a field goal? We're talking about those.
He pushed his own man on unsportsmanlike. That's what the guy called it. Unsportsmanlike
conduct.
He got penalized for pushing his own man?
His own man into the kicker or something like that. That's the way.
No, he pushed his own man in a field goal attempt. Push the guy to his own man.
Well, you know, I tell you what, the Jets are glad that they had that rule because for all intents and purposes, not only were they not going to make the field goal, but Brady and the Patriots were going to get the ball like on the 50-yard line. Am I right?
Well, but Brady got
going back into the locker room, just some of the comments made by the kicker, Nick Folk, on whether he knew what the penalty flag was for.
Okay.
He said he didn't know what it was for right away, but as soon as he saw the referee's conferencing, he knew it was for either a push or a leverage. That's the first time that he saw the flag. So initially, he thought it might have been for 12 men on the field, which is what the...
Yeah. Let's go with that. Todd Stanley Sports, the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network live from MetLife Stadium, post-game New York Jets, New England game. And let's talk about that again, too. And that's something I know Dusty be jumping down on his TV about. But the Jets lead the league in penalties, and they keep taking themselves out of games and putting other teams in the game, Dusty, with these horrendous redundant penalties.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is that when they call that penalty, I'm so conditioned to the Jets taking themselves out of a game through penalties, I thought it was against them. But it was Patriots against on his own Patriot man, and they came up with that ridiculous freaking penalty, which saved the Jets because he missed the other field goal attempt. And I'm saying, son of a gun, he can't reach a 44 field goal, and this time second, you know, he's lucky he got it done. But I mean, it's a ridiculous penalty, but the Jets are lucky. And the fact of the matter is that when they were driving down the Jets, they couldn't even get it closer enough to at least attempt a touchdown. I said, man, they better settle for a field goal because the way Brady was throwing that ball. And with Gronkowski coming back, Gronkowski is an animal, man. He showed how much.
Dusty, I saw him in the locker room. I mean, he looked like an android. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looked like a steroid candidate,
man. The guy was freaking big. He almost caught that ball one-handed, man.
He played a hell of a game. He was out for, what, 6 weeks?
It's amazing that you look. I got to find his numbers. It's amazing that you look. He only had four catches.
Yeah.
But he was averaging 13 yards a catch. And you know, everything he caught, you know, had an impact. It was a first down.
Exactly.
He kept a drive going. In the first quarter, he had two passes going his way. He caught them both. Total 42 yards. The longest was a 21-yard. He averaged 21 yards. He had 42 yards. His longest was a 31 yard. So he was okay. And you know, he just has we went to the halftime stats on him, and his halftime numbers were impressive. It's into the third quarter. I mean, he had four catches, 47 yards, and more importantly, he brings a sense of stability, relief, and dependability to not only the offense, but more importantly, you know, the great Tom Brady. And he
the great Tom Brady panicked. He got gun crazy. He was throwing those long freaking passes when they could have just ate up the turf to get closer. And when he missed or receivers dropped or he threw over their heads, he was going into tantrums like Eli Manning. I mean, the man himself disintegrated. He wasn't playing good ball.
He self-destructed. He self-destructed today.
Right.
Today.
So I mean, the only guy that made him look good was Gronkowski. I mean, right. how much can a man do? He almost caught that ball with one hand. You see that almost? Yo, he looked like Carlos Beltran against the Dodgers when he caught that ball on the fly. And you know but it was Tom Brady who self-destructed. It wasn't his receivers, man. But the thing is that he has a great wall, the Great Wall of China, an offensive line. I mean, a barricade pocket that the Jets could not penetrate. They couldn't catch him at all.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and that's what gave him the time to look and look and divide and look and look and make his throws. But other than that, if it hadn't been for that Patriot pushing his own man, the Jets would have blown this game, man. But,
So as they say, we'll take it, right?
Yeah, we'll take it. However dirty it is, it's called winning ugly. I don't care. I still got a W.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Doc, what did Belichick have to say about this?
He's crying the blues.
Yeah, I know he probably walked out of there.
He's on a suicide watch. That's what it is.
Especially when the Jets beat him. He gets pissed off about that.
Yep.
I'll tell the Sea Wings, watch him today, walking, pacing, back and forth by the sidelines with his arms folded. Yeah.
So I think if you really look at it, the Jets dominated, like I said, and
yeah, they did well.
Overall, mm-hmm. over 40 plus minutes of our
possession. Yeah, if you take it with the INT, I mean, the score was Jets 7, Raymond 7, and actually it was Geno Smith 14. And New England 7, because Geno Smith threw the INT for New England, got them 7 points. I know as the game went on, I kept saying, you know, if you took away the INT, it took away the whole complexion of the game. The Jets will play a different ball. They're running the football. They're controlling the football. But no, it was really big, because in the past they weren't able to overcome the INT. Last week against Pittsburgh, perfect example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. So it was good to see them overcome the INT. And as Cologne said, you know, if they don't win this football game today, they're 3-4. Wallace and the services, the season is gone. It's not only a
big win
against one of the best teams. It's still considered one of the elite teams in the league, and also a division game. That's the thing that Zalski talked about, and also the kicker for the Patriots, Gostkowski, he talked about it, and also we talked about, as I talked about the one of the offensive ends, it was who was that? I guess another was Julian. It was was Ridley? They talked about the big thing was that it was losing to the Jets. I mean, losing is bad enough, Junior Edelman, but losing to the Jets. And this was the thing that was and something hit me now. So, you know, Dusty, Harold hit me about this win. It was a psychological victory. And that has to do a lot for the psych for a young team, okay, and also for a team of veterans. I mean, anything of a positive nature, but this was a big psychological win for the Jets, too.
Rex Ryan was talking all this week and talking a lot of trash and all that. But, you see, there's a hidden caveat to that. You had at least 6 or 7 veteran Patriots who were out on injuries.
Right.
They were replaced, or of course, replacement players. And the Jets were up for this game. I mean, how much brainwashing and trash-talking can Rex Ryan do and then fall flat on his face? It must have rubbed off on them, especially since they lost to a lousy team last week. And they had to win this. I mean, this was a must-win for the Jets, not can we win or should we win. If we don't win, it doesn't matter. No, it had to be a must-win, as it is because of some of the little mistakes they made. They made it very close, but the fact of the matter is that they did win, and they supported Rex Ryan's trash talk. Now, I like that receiver, a running back that the Jets got, the guy with the cornrows, Avery or Slippery
Prince
or whatever his name is.
Ivory.
The man went through the replacement player defenseman like a hot knife through butter. And that's what they need. Now, when they get a regular team with all the veteran players, he has to perform the same way. Or else you can call this win today a fluke. because
don't forget Condry, the receiver. He did also.
And the receiver, right.
Well, he did very good. He tore him up today.
He had six first downs catches alone. You know, I don't think any team has had the kind of first down success the Jets have had. At least not a Jet team in a long time. And you look at the Patriots, who only got one. The Kansas City Chiefs will remain unbeaten. We're going to go up the air about a half hour, so we'll probably stick around maybe catch the beginning. I don't know, just Cincinnati Wings and Pittsburgh, the beginning of that Denver and Annapolis game. We got a half hour left, but somebody just said, okay, your move.
1 point to three, wow.
Denver, 7-0 is the Kansas City Chiefs. Haven't started like that since, I don't think a team has a coach.
Been a long time.
Long time ago.
1978. Oh, no, hold on. No. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs in 1978. We can't forget Bill Belichick had an undefeated season. So they were 7-0 way back in the day. But Kansas City in 1978, lost the head of coaches, started season 7-0. Herb Williams is here today. Got in Kansas City. Pittsburgh, he caught him, who coached the Jets and then went out to Kansas City. And right now, Kansas City is 7-0. Peyton Manning. He's quite a thing to see when he turns at Indianapolis tonight. Thought he never should have left that place, but for all you keeping count, the New England Patriots lost today to the New York Jets in overtime, 30-27. Geno Smith and Nick, his kicker, Nick Volk. They should have a special ability to work that 2-minute drill or on that field goal is needed in the closing seconds. He's come through again. He kicked maybe like a 57-yarder. It was long enough. It was to the left. But there was a pushing penalty, a new penalty implemented into football where you can't push your own man into the kicker. I understand. Man, if you can't, the idea is to push anybody, but you can't push your own man into the kicker. That gave the Jets the first down. And they moved the ball a little closer, and the rest of the day as Folk took the touchdown to win the game, and the rest of the day is history. Doc Stanley, sponsored at Blog Talk Radio on the Custom Guard Red Network. Get away from football a little bit. We got Dusty and Harold. We've got Manny Pacquiao. So as we move in here, this is October. We're moving into November. Right, he's got a big fight. Cotto won his fight. Dusty, your thoughts, looking back, and you too, Harold, your thoughts on the Bradley fight against Marquez. There are some who say it's a decision, and they think that maybe once again it was a fight that Bradley didn't win. Your thoughts, Dusty?
Nonsense, he didn't win. It should have been a unanimous decision. When they called it a split, my fear was that they were going to call it a draw to favor Marquez. No way, and Marquez is a freaking whiner. He says he won the fight. He was robbed six times already. Every decision he lost, he was robbed. That's a bunch of crap. First of all, Bradley, I got to give him credit. As literate as he is, he has a big chess game brain. He learned from the Pacquiao fight, and he learned from the Ruslan fight how to fight Marquez. And he utilized every move, including incorporated the shoulder roll and elbow defense of Floyd Mayweather. And that's how he beat Marquez. He beat him soundly. I mean, Marquez did himself proud, but he had fallen in love with the right hand that he knocked out Pacquiao with, and he couldn't. You got to look at boxing not as an entertainment or what. You got to look at it scientifically, and what would you do in that position? And I'm very sure Harold understands this. Marquez threw right hands after right hands, and he caught Bradley clean. But defensively, you got to look at how Bradley turned his head and defused the impact and the power of that right hand. That's defense. That takes a lot of years to learn that. You turn your head away and defuse the power. Marquez says he hit him with a lot of right hands, but he doesn't understand that he missed a lot of because Bradley turned around. And Bradley beat him. I'll counterpunch him. And then the 12th round when he almost got knocked down, I mean, that was a natural knockdown. If he had not, if he had just slipped, I mean, one of his gloves had just scraped the canvas, it would have been an official knockdown. And he doesn't understand that. But Bradley should have won a unanimous decision, not a split decision. And that's the way I see it. Now, Bradley, I would love for him to challenge Professor Mayweather and see how they'll do.
Well,
that would be a good fight. How you saw the
Marquez fight, your thoughts are long. Does see Marquez against Bradley? Did Bradley win the fight for decision? What's your thoughts, Harold?
I thought it was a very close fight. I mean, I gave the fight more to Marquez, but you can pretty much throw it up. I mean, nobody really dominated, but I thought Marquez threw the punches and he landed more clearly punches. It's just one of those things in boxing that you look at where who you think that was more aggressive and who was more cleaner punches. And my side says I thought Marquez, people think Bradley, but I didn't think Bradley threw enough punches to win the fight. They went by the, as I looked at it, they feel that what he did in the 12th round was the key for his victory. But I didn't see it that way. But, the judges today are just much different than they were back before. I mean, I don't think these judges know how to really score a fight or what it takes to where a fight is supposed to win a round. And that's the sad part about the sport, because that's where the downfall is coming at. Because a lot of decisions you see is bad decisions. And they going on this scoring thing with this, I don't know what it is that they got at ringside about guys are throwing 400 punches around where it's impossible to do that. The thing is that they going on those statistics. I think that it's very stupid. I mean, because those guys are not throwing that many punches around, especially these fighters today. They ain't throwing no 200, 400 punches around. That's they don't exist.
Oh, that punch count machine. You talk about the punch count machine.
And I think that's what a lot of these judges are, especially the announcers, I mean the commentators, that's what they go on.
The punch count. Yeah, I don't know how the hell
they're
going.
And it's not true.
There's no such thing, because a freaking fighter would have to be a machine.
Yeah, it's got to be a machine.
Yeah.
Let me just say this, fellas. It's only 180 seconds in a round.
Exactly.
So basically, how could they throw 200 punches around? There's only 180 seconds around. It don't exist.
Yeah.
See who had the fastest hand in any fighter, and he couldn't throw that many punches around. His hand was blazing. You got to step back. You got to move. You're gonna faint. You're gonna do a few things. You're gonna hold. Where does the 100 punches come in that 180 seconds?
Exactly.
It doesn't exist, and that's what I'm saying. I say everything that you're listening to in boxing is false. It's false. It's false. Off. But guys, people are making money out of all these statistics, and I tell anybody in the sport, give me a fighter that threw 200 punches. Tell me how he throws 200 punches only 180 seconds in a fight. You tell me. How does it work?
Exactly. And if he threw 200 punches, it would have to be in the whole 12 rounds, but not in one round.
I mean, he's got to be throwing, he's got those two punches in 1 second. How does he do that? Doesn't work.
Doc Stanley. Sports Network, Block Central, and the Touch and Guard Radio Network. Gentlemen, we've got coming up, as we're saying, the Sweet Science Pacquiao is going to be fighting Brandon Rios. The question is this the swan song if Pacquiao doesn't win the fight? And if Pacquiao does win the fight, do we somehow maybe entertain the fact that we may wind up with Pacquiao and Mayweather? As we know, the big fight here at Barclays Center, we're going to have Super Zab Judah against Paulie Malignaggi, the Magic Man. And the undercard is going to bring us that Cuban interim champion, Laura, against Austin Trout. So that's a nice little card, Dusty. He's good back in the middle house, but that's a nice little card. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, about a year ago, or not even a year ago, we trashed this card of Malignaggi and Zab Judah. But the more I look at it, I said it's an interesting. I don't say good, bad, or indifferent, but interesting card, because they're both ex-champs. They fought two quality guys, And now that I asked Paulie, and he said, "This might this be an elimination of sorts, because that'll put you on a level to fight Broner again, or even fight Devon Alexander, who's fighting some unknown next month. I don't know who that is." But then he says, "Yeah, the money's right, and I would not take a fight because I'm getting paid pretty good money in Showtime. So why should I take a fight? I wouldn't take the fight. I'm always like a free agent. I wouldn't take a fight unless it leads to something else." And vice versa, Zab Judah, he says, "This is a good fight, and it could lead to something else." So I got the same answer from both fighters. So there's something in the offing of whoever wins. And then the interesting thing, of course, is you saw the T-shirts, Doc. One said Bensonhurst, and the other one said Brownsville. So it's a borough thing, which will draw people from Bensonhurst and from Brownsville to fill up the – it's a gimmickry to fill up Barclay. But there is something more important, which I assume is what they're doing, is that there is something else in the offering, plus the money's okay. So, you know, then you got the underneath, the guy who beat Paul Williams fighting Austin Trout. Trout may be the dark horse and beat Lara, because Pedro Angulo almost killed Lara. He dropped him like a dead balloon, man. And the guy got up. Yeah, he showed a lot of guts and hurt Angulo, but the guy could be knocked down. So you know, it's still an interesting card that will draw people, you know. So
I think you know, adding those two guys to the card though makes it a nice little card. I mean, it was intriguing. It's nice to have the pride of Bensonhurst, the pride of Brownsville, that's brought five world champions, heavyweight that is, along with the light heavyweight champion and Zab, and also Mark Whelan, Golden Glover too, Golden Glove champion and gold medal winner. But it's a nice undercard. How your thoughts on Paulie Malignaggi, Zab Judah, and talking to Steve Farwood, how he was saying that he thought that that Zab is underachieved, but the talent that he had, that Zab should have been just a lot better, greater fighter than what he's turned out to be. How are your thoughts on that comment, and your thoughts on the card with him and Paulie and Trout and Laura? Harold Weston?
Well, my feeling about the fight, I mean, I just think it's just it's a fight that should have been done 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And the fact is, doing it now has no meaning to it whatsoever. You got to understand, when you make fights, you make a fight for a step to move in a direction that's going to be a big draw later on. It's a step for you to move on into the position of fighting for a world championship or get that big moment to fight that big major event. These guys has already been to the title fight, and they've been there long enough where people know who they are, and people really don't care too much about them. I mean, they have the inside fans, but you got to be a real superstar. You got to have those outside people that knows you too and want to come and see you. And if these guys don't have that draw, which I don't think they have that draw, because it's, you know, they neither one of them was punchers, and I mean, they had some good glory times and some good fights, but the fact is, combining them together now, after what, they're almost 40 years old, it you know, it doesn't have no ring to the people that's going to spend $300. And this is a very simple question to everybody. Would you spend $300 to go see them?
You could hear a pin drop.
All right. That's my question. That's the whole thing I'm saying. And you guys are sport guys.
Say that for Christmas, like you were saying, the Christmas money.
Yeah, right.
The Christmas money, right?
But you know, it's the same way. I you know, it like you said before, Mel. It's a good ring to the fight that they're putting together, combined with all the other matches. Yeah. It brings a little
local talent.
It brings a little flair to it. But otherwise, to see them two fight, who cares? I mean, that's the whole thing. Who cares? If one of them lose, one of them win, what difference does it make?
Right.
And neither one of them cares if they lose or win.
Mm.
It really doesn't make no difference no more.
Right.
They lost that feeling of ability that wants to be, you know, worrying about the win and loss column anymore. Mm. They, you know, so basically, they're just there for the money, and whatever happens, happens. But you know, on the other question that you mentioned, I don't know. I haven't thought about it that much. Mel, I really haven't thought about it that much.
Right, but there is, like I said, Paulie said that the money was good, but there's also winning this fight will put me on a platform to fight for another title.
I mean, but what platform are we talking about? How many platforms does he want to be on? He's already been on a platform. He's lucky that he got on a platform. He's lucky he's in this era and he's able to get on this platform.
A platform? What platform? 20,000 platforms, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what platform are you talking about? That's what I'm trying to understand. The platform you want is, I want to make another $1 million, another $2 million.
Right.
That's the platform. It ain't no platform talking about, I want to win a title. Because it don't mean nothing to you. Because
right.
That's the whole thing with Paulie. And I can say anything that looks like Paulie gets cut, Paulie gets knocked down, and Paulie is not going to try to win the fight. You know why? Because he's going to say, hey, man, I ain't going to get messed up. I'm going to quit. I got my show. I'm doing Showtime.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, you know, that desire, though, is not there. It's not there.
Because that's exactly what he said, Harold.
Hello.
He said, I'm locked into Showtime. If this had not been made attractive enough, I would have said no.
Right.
But they made it attractive enough.
You talked about that thing with Al Haymon, talking to him and
right.
giving him some things that would induce him. Real quickly, you know, we've been here for a while.
I think we have
most,
Mel Cosell in studio right
some,
now.
Join us.
I see something. What's up?
By the man who coined the phrase.
I see something. Can you people hear me?
Oh, Cosell Smith Jr. Invite people in to the Sports In-Depth Nation.
Well, Doc, the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here, and that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, the doctor.
Thank you, Rudy. And once again, Sports and Them on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Network. We're live here at the post-game show. Rudy, we're going to let you fly with this next 15 minutes or so. Jets, big win, overtime against New England. Just
terrific win, Doc.
Yeah, but not only that,
Gino was solid today, Doc. Very, very solid. The defensive line was great. Muhammad Wilkerson is doing what JDPP did for the Giants last year. Outside of that one pick six, Gino played a very, very solid game today, Doc. And so
did Derek. And that's the thing about it's bad enough that it's an INT. But the INT that picked 60, one time, you know, the score was Jets 7, Patriots 7, Geno Smith 7. I mean, the INT he threw put the points up on the board for the Patriots. Talking to Willie Colon, you know, one thing that he said he liked about the young quarterback is that his ability to whatever happened on the last series of downs is gone. You know, he comes back, he's cool, under pressure, has a sort of maturity beyond his years, or maybe in the mold of Walt Frazier. But more importantly, he has the ability, Rooney, to whatever he did, it's done, let's move on.
Doc, say what you want, and good job by you. Say what you want, Doc, about rookie quarterback Rowing Pains. The guy makes plays that Mark Sanchez just can't make, Doc. I mean, the guy can just take off, pick the ball down with him, and has the ability to scrimmage. Yeah, he got sacked a couple of times a day, true. But the guy makes plays that Mark Sanchez just can't make, Doc. He has a monstrous arm, and he can just pull the ball down and just plain run out of the pocket. So Geno Smith is always dangerous, Doc, when he's play calling. Geno's always dangerous.
Bob Azusa, the play-by-play radio man, says that he feels, and I was thinking about this yesterday at home, and then coming to the game today, talking to both the Hooster and Sea Wings, I never thought, you know, we'd think about, man, where's Marty Schottenheimer? And But, you know, Martin Saluza says that, you know, they should have more plays where Geno can run the football. He can roll or he can do the bootleg. He thinks that his ability to run the football should be incorporated into the Jets offense. Not that dangerous, but there should be more of him running the football. Mel.
Can I ask a question? Is anybody going to look up in the rule books about you pushing your man into trying to block a field goal?
That was the new rule that they put in this year.
Have y'all read that? Did y'all see the rule book? Did y'all read the rule book?
It's a new rule put in the NFL today, and I tell you what, the Jets have no problem
with it. Oh, okay.
That was a Jet victory,
so.
they put that rule in. I never heard of it, but let me tell you, nobody here in MetLife Stadium has a problem with that. You know what I mean?
I bet you tomorrow, when somebody puts right in the newspapers and they said there's no such rule in the book, and then the judge and referee is going to come back and say, oh, we made
no
a mistake.
Rule. How? It is in the books. It's a new rule put on the books this
year. It's in the books. It's up in the
new rule put on the books. You cannot put your own
mind.
Give me
the facts of what page is on, what column, and what number
how,
in the rule book.
If you want to, page 27, column 17, section 273. I make that up. Put it there somewhere. I'll find it.
You know where the rule is? The rule is in...
Harold, I tell you what, Harold.
No, I know where the rule is. It's in chapter, the Jets one, in page, the New England Patriots.
And the referee was a Jet fan.
Boy, let me tell you. 37 man will have a field day with this tomorrow. I'm telling you right now.
And look, Harold, Nick, listen, the kicker, the Jets kicker, Nick Falk said, you know what, he ain't never heard of the rule. He ain't never heard of it. All he do is go back out there and
ain't nobody ever heard of it.
Well, you know what?
I've never seen it, but it is a rule.
As much as
those guys go into the, when they're going to get ready to go after the quarterback and push their guy to try to get behind enough to get in front of the other guy and everything, and they never call that, but all of a sudden they doing the same thing and they announce a rule that you can't push your man.
The theory behind it is all trying to protect the players. Because the offensive linemen and the snapper, they just have to sit there and take it. They can't really fire off like you would on an offensive play or anything like that. So you really don't have a chance to
defend yourself.
It's sort of like where there's no rule against it, but when time the Bucks rushed Giants and pushed back Eli Manning when he downed the ball. So it's sort of like that to protect the players, because you see how Tom Coughlin really scolded Greg Schiano because you could have got somebody hurt. So that's the theory behind that, is to protect the players.
Yeah, and it protected and interjected the Jets into a victory today, and with that, the Jets overtime. Doc Stanley, Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Fresh and Guard Radio Network. The iconic posse is Sports and Death gives you not only an in-depth look at sports, but also an in-depth look at perspective of the sports that are played and the athletes and performers that perform them. And with my iconic posse of Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, Dusty, H. Ray Brown Jr., Lewis III, Double Barrel, Harold Weston Jr., Lady A, Nate B. Berger, Baseball, Cisco, the Muscles Kid, Pittsburgh E, Cincinnati Sea Wings, a.k.a. Mr. NFL, 411. We bring you not only Sports and Depth, but with their intellect and their foresight, Sports and Depth is also the world of depth. And remember, it was here on Sports and Depth, okay, when Harold Weston said, when we were on Blake Radio, the president is going to speak to the country in 15 minutes. And then Cincinnati Sea Wings said, oh, yeah, they have just killed Bin Laden. It was on Blog Talk Radio, on the Blake Radio Network, on Sports and Death, that the world first heard that happen. And that right there validates the intellect of this posse, not only sports, but Sports and Death is, too, the sports in the world. My Fox is not the best. I have to admit that. They're the absolute best. Doc Kelly, Sports Endeavor, Live Talk Radio on the Sports Endeavor Network, and the Hoopster. He can take you down low, off the dribble, all part of Doc Shanley's iconic Fox. Two others. I am somebody. Big game today. Mel, let's get back to you now.
Doc, before you get back to me, can I make a quick statement? Because I was on the line. I couldn't get through, but I was listening to you guys talking about boxing the other night with Potvinnikov. And who was it that he had just taken the title from, the Latin kid, Doc?
You talking about
the Bradley Marquez the other day?
No, you're talking about the Russian.
Number one, that was a terrific fight. Number two is a big-time show of art because that kid Alvarado had gotten badly hurt several times through that fight. I thought the kid was going to quit. And he kind of hung in there. I know eventually
he did quit.
Right, but I mean, but earlier in the fight, there were some times when he was badly, badly hurt. And the kid fought on, so I'm not going to down him for that. But Dave, that was a
brutal, it looked like
a throwback to the days when you guys fought, Howard. It was a brutal, brutal rumble.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I like the Russian guy. I think that, you know, but his whole thing is he come to fight. And one thing is in his favor, he can take a punch, and he's got some punching power himself. So, I mean, you know, when you tangle with him, you got to realize you're going to be in the fight. I mean, you're going to be in the fight. Simple as that.
Yeah, like Mike Tyson said, you got to plan until you get hit.
I mean, one thing about this Russian guy, he don't care about getting hit, but he's definitely gonna hit you.
Yeah, but
you better worry about when you get hit.
And he could take a punch, but all
he
I'm saying is when he goes, if he's going up against top-notch opponents, they're gonna pick him apart because he really ain't got no boxing skills. He's just a brawler that can take a punch.
Yeah, but you gotta understand. Let's explain to you.
You have
no fighter out there that's a real crafty fighter except Mayweather. And all these other guys don't have enough heart. This Russian is coming, and he's going to punch you hard. He looks like he wants to kill you. And the bad thing about it is that if you don't have a big, big punch and you can't stop him in his tracks a couple of times, you're going to have problems with him because he's going to keep on driving until he gets to you.
On top of that, what people forget in the business, he's a hellified body puncher.
Yeah.
I mean, you kill the body and the head
that's
dies.
That's how he killed Alvarado yesterday with the body.
That's right, body puncher. You cannot forget the body. You can't go out there and punch the little 8x10 little head. You got to go and kill that body that's a constant target. And that's what he was doing. You saw him digging those right hands and the left hook to the liver and the straight right hand to the stomach. That's how you beat a dude.
He was accurate. He didn't miss a point.
He didn't miss a point. If he missed to the head, he got you in the body. And that's the key.
Yeah.
And that's how
the And you know what? The way it looked, it came naturally to him. He didn't even have to try. But just punch went down and up and down. Like,
exactly.
It just came naturally to him.
Right. And that's how he fights. I mean, and this is I said it before, but it's a Manny Pacquiao fighter-like because he's trained like Manny Pacquiao by Freddie Roach.
Well, I mean, exactly.
And Freddie Roach is trying to mold him. Not really. I mean, that's the way I saw it last night.
You think that it won't be good to put those two together?
No.
Pacquiao
it will never happen.
It's not going to be good for Roach.
No. It'd be a miscarriage of boxing to have one trainer who trains two fighters to fight each other. That's nonsense.
But then you can have the other Filipino train the Russian and Roach can train.
Big deal, because that other Filipino is an understudy for Freddie Roach. And you can't have that.
That Russian's got enough guys out there he can pick from that he can fight. He doesn't need Manny Pacquiao.
Can him and Bradley too come? You think him and Bradley 2 will come again, the Russian and Bradley 2?
Well, it could be,
but Bradley does not want that fight again. Did you hear Bradley say it took him 3 months to have him? He had a concussion for three months.
Concussion, a slurred voice.
Don't forget that. You don't forget those things.
Exactly. And look, Provodnikov, Ruslan has Danny Garcia.
Ruslan has Danny Garcia.
You people
and he has Lucas
Matisse. In the United States, across the country, in Europe, and on Mars, Harold Weston said, you will not see
Bradley in the Russian. At least, maybe on Pluto, Harold. Maybe they'll fight that fight on Pluto, but not in America.
Boy, look here. Bradley done crossed that kid's name out. He don't want to mention the kid's name. He don't want you to mention it.
He took him off his dance card.
He took him off the list.
One thing about men in life, you can have 20 fights, right? The fight that you're going to remember and remember the guy's name forever is the one that hurt you, knocked you down, and
exactly.
made you cry.
Exactly.
Those are the ones you always going to remember. Even if you won the decision, you always going to remember their name.
Is it safe to say that Bradley will not be sending him a Christmas card? Can we go with that?
Let me take that back. He'll send him a Christmas card. Yeah, he'll send him a Christmas card. Just tell him to stay where he's at. Say, hey, man, I hope everything's well.
I'm going to
stay where I'm at.
Exactly.
They
got to put so much money on the table for him to fight him. Because let me just, they go and say, look at Brad, we're going to make that fight with you and that kid now since you know. Bradley's going to say, how much? They're going to say $2 million. He said, that's not enough.
It's not enough is right. $200,000
last time. I don't care. I need $20 million.
Well, got to up the price. Well, let me tell you. Ruslan got 600,000 last night, and Alvarado got paid 1.3 mil, his biggest purse. So Bradley says, Bradley is told, well, you got to fight Ruslan? I said, look, man, I want 10 mil just to start on pay-per-view because I ain't fighting this guy again. Ruslan has Danny Garcia.
He won $10 million for training expenses. We ain't talking about his training money.
For training alone.
Let me say, he had a concussion for 3 months.
His voice was slurred.
He doesn't want to go through that again. So you to give him. To make that fight again, you got to make sure you take care of his medical bills with his family for the rest of their lives. And then let's start with the training expense money, which is going to be about $5 million.
What's that famous phrase that Ali said after with the Frazier Thriller Manila? That was the closest thing to death fight
to
the next
year. That's right.
And like I said, that's what Bradley was. And Bradley knows it, man. Because, man, he looked really bad in that fight. And like he said, man, it took me 3 months. I had a concussion for 3 months. He was going to the doctor every week just to get his head checked out.
Oh, my God.
That's how serious it was.
Yeah. Slurred voice.
When you get hit like that or you get those injuries like that,
absolutely.
It stays in your body. It ain't gonna go away. It's still but it's a little soft. But, somebody else has got hit. But he don't want to see this kid no more. He don't even want to see this kid at the gym. He don't want to see him in the street.
He don't probably want to see him in the street.
He don't want to see him go back to Russia and leave it.
Bradley will not visit Russia. I know that. That's
at all.
Hey, listen. That's either the country, the street, or the candy. Rudy, tell everybody good night here on Sports and Death Force, will you? Rudy, close it out for us, baby.
He's sleeping. He took a nap.
Rudy?
Huh?
No,
Mr. Junior,
close it out, Ronnie.
Oh. Yeah, I heard a bird back there.
I guess that Mayweather fight still messed his head up. I don't know. I guess it's Mayweather. I think he needs to see a psychologist right now. Ain't right, man. He's got a concussion. I don't know. Harold, you better go check him out.
I know how he feels.
On the Custom Dog Network. We gotta go and leave it 3 plus. Leave right today. We have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service others and make you pay for your space here on Earth. They're here. Double Barrel Harold.
You guys, Brett Brown. You guys think about Danny Garcia and Ruslan and the Russian. That'd be a good friend.
The Rooster, Melko Felsnip Jr. Hey, Rooney, close it out, Rooney.
Well, Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network and the store.